Good afternoon and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela and my guest today is Ann Absher with the Wilkes County Health Department. And Ann, it's good to have you with us on the program today.
Hi, Angela. So happy to be here.
I don't believe you and I have chatted before on the air, have we?
I don't think we have. I did a presentation on our BCELP, our Breast and Cervical Cancer Control Program, several years ago, but I interviewed with someone else, so yeah. It wasn't you.
No, okay. Well, it's good to have you with us on the program today. And we were discussing this before we went on the air. We kind of went from one extreme to the other with our weather this year, Ann. It was cool and rainy, and now all of a sudden it's hot and dry. And so when we were talking yesterday, we were discussing some things you need to know or keep in mind, because this is farm country. This is Wilkes County. We have a lot of folks who work outside. I noticed coming in today, there's a lot of road construction going on in different parts of the county. A lot of folks who work outside, this is what they do. And there are some precautions that you need to take in really hot weather to prevent getting sick with either heat exhaustion or heat stroke. So, and that's what we need to talk about today. So what are some things folks need to keep in mind when they're going to be out working all day long in the heat?
Well, at the health department, we always preach prevention. So I think it's much easier to protect yourself in the beginning rather than having to treat the illness once you obtain that illness. So, of course, we all know that the best protection is to wear lightweight clothing. Be sure that you cover yourself to protect against sunburn, but wear clothing that's non-synthetic, like cotton clothing. That breathes easier, and you can decrease your heat that builds inside your body. Of course, if you can, it's best to work in the hours where the sun is not the hottest, the hours between 10 and 4 p.m. Of course, those are prime hours for working if you're working a day job, but if you can, limit your sun exposure during those hours. Protect yourself by being in a shaded hour as much as you can, under a shade if you can do that. Take frequent breaks. That's real important to cool yourself, let your body have time to cool itself down, and drink lots of water. Cool, refreshing water is one of the best ways to cool your body temperature down and replace, you know, we all, when we work, we sweat. And when you sweat, you lose body fluids like water and salt and other nutrients. So you want to replenish those frequently.
Well, now, is that the best thing, to drink the water? Because I know a lot of folks, my husband is the world's worst. He's addicted to soft drinks, to pack a cooler full of soft drinks if he's going to be out working. And a lot of folks do the energy drinks or the Gatorade type drinks to, they say, you know, replenishes. Are those better, or is water the best choice every time?
Water is the best choice for keeping yourself and replenishing yourself, particularly if you're have a heart condition and say you're on a low salt diet. Many of the soft drinks do have sodium or salt into the soft drink, so you can actually increase the level of salt. Now, if you're suffering from what might be heat cramps, say you have leg cramps, you're running, or you're doing some strenuous activity, then yes, you might want to replenish your body with something that might have some salt in it. They don't recommend that you take salt tablets anymore, but it would be nice maybe to drink a cool juice, something that might have some other nutrients in it to replenish your body.
I know that as we get closer to the schools just let out, but when you get closer to schools getting back in session, I know a lot of times in late July and early August, the football players, the high schoolers, will be out practicing. And you hear a lot of times about them having some heat exhaustion problems, because that is the hottest part of the summer when they're trying to practice. And so in those cases, along with water, do they need to have the replenishing drinks?
Yes, they should, unless their doctor had, you know, unless they have some condition that would prohibit them from doing that. You, of course, you want to replenish not just water but salt. But water is important, too. I mean, I can't say to not drink water. Right. You can have water and a snack, you know, because then that would replenish your nutrients if you just have a snack along with your water. So you wouldn't have – the thing we try to talk about a lot in public health is the sugar content that is in soft drinks, in your fruit juices that you buy. So if you can stay away from as much of just that high sugar content as possible, it will help you stay at a healthy weight. And nothing replenishes our body like water.
Well, now, you were mentioning the healthy weight there, and a lot of folks who may be thinking about, well, you know, it's summertime, I'm going to be going to the beach, and maybe I need to lose some weight before I do that. Before they start any type of an exercise program, is it best to check with someone with the health department or with your doctor before you do that?
Oh, absolutely. You need to be sure that your body, that you don't take on, well, number one, you don't want to do some kind of diet that is causes you to lose weight too rapidly.
Right.
Because many times studies have been shown that that's very unsuccessful and that most people gain that weight back pretty quickly. And I like to think of the way we eat as a lifestyle. And we want to make those small changes, changes that we know that we can adapt throughout our lifetime and that we will stick with. Dieting is not something that you tend to be able to stick with for a long period of time.
Right.
So it's best to look at what can I do? How can I increase or decrease the calories that I'm taking in? And sometimes that can be as easy as switching from soft drinks to water. Or maybe even if you can't do that, diet soft drinks, if that's allowed. But it is appropriate to check with your primary care physician or someone before you begin on an activity of losing weight.
Again, we're talking with Ann Absher with the Wilkes County Health Department about staying safe in these hotter summer months that we're getting into right now. A few minutes ago, we were talking about prevention, and that's one of the main things, and to be sure that you have coverage on to prevent sunburn if you're going to be working out all day long. Now, Anne, is there a difference on skin types as to how much coverage? I know there's SPF 15 and 25 and 30, and even they go up to 50, and I think some are even higher than 50 now. What is the best? Is there a big difference in those? Is there a certain one that we all should to go with? What's the best advice?
Well, most of the sunburn protection products, you need to go with SPF greater than 15. So if you have something that's less than 15, that does not provide you with enough protection. I would say that you do need to reapply this at least every 2 hours. That's what the products recommend because they do, you know, wear off. And if you're swimming or if you're sweating or perspiring a lot, you might even need to apply the sunscreen even more often than every 2 hours. The second thing about sunscreen is, of course, you want to follow the recommended requirements on the label, and you want to make sure that you follow that expiration date. Make sure that the sunscreen, if it's old, if you've had it for a couple of years, that it hasn't expired.
Oh, so it's like almost like a medicine then. You have to watch the expiration date.
Correct. Because if the sunscreen has expired, then it would not be effective. It does have chemicals in it. And you want to find a sunscreen that protects you against UV and UVB exposure, the two types of sun exposure that we get. Of course, it's important, too, to protect your eyes. You need to wear sunglasses, and it's best to wear sunglasses that wrap around your eyes. We know that sun exposure
can... You're saying the cool little bitty ones that just are on the front of your face is not the best one for your eye.
Probably not. You want to protect the entire eye, and I know they're cool, but there's some nice-looking ones that wrap around also. Cataracts can form from prolonged exposure to sun, so we only have our eyes. We keep the same set throughout our lifetime. We want to protect our eyes as long as we can and try not to have cataract surgery any sooner than we must.
Right. So protect those eyes and protect the skin. Now, what about those folks who say, well, I don't burn. I'm dark, you know, dark skinned or dark complexion. I don't burn. It's okay. I don't need the sunscreen. But you can get damage to your skin anyway, right?
Absolutely. You know, skin cancers, they do not stop for you. Whether you're fair-skinned, you may be more exposed. Your burn may be worse, you know, if you have a fair complexion. But you are still exposed to the sun's rays, and you can get skin cancer from that exposure. So you still need to protect yourself from the sun's rays.
All right, so protect yourself. Now, we were talking a few minutes ago about drinking a lot of water when you're outside. Kind of tell us, what are some of the signs for heat exhaustion? Maybe we have gotten all carried away with what we were doing with our yard work or with our construction work, if you're a construction worker or a farmer, and you've just kind of forgotten to take a break and cool down. What are some of the symptoms when you think, okay, there's something wrong here?
Well, of course, we know that heat exhaustion is the body's response to when you lose a lot of water and you lose a lot of salt. And that usually is through sweating, of course, or perspiring. If you're starting to experience heat exhaustion, typically your heart will start beating rapidly. You may have heavy sweating. You may feel weak or fatigued. Dizziness. Some people experience vomiting or nausea. You may have fast, shallow breathing. You may be irritable. So if you're with someone and they notice that you're sweating a lot and you suddenly get very irritable, then, you know, they need to know that you're experiencing heat exhaustion. And you may have a slightly elevated body temperature. So the important thing, if you have any of these symptoms, number one, rest. Get to a cool area, sit down, get in the shade and rest. Drink plenty of water or other cool beverages. If you don't have access to water, another cool beverage will be just fine. And another thing that you can do when you get home, or if you're, say you're out exercising or it's the end of your shift, take a cool shower or a sponge bath. That will help to cool the body temperature down.
All right. So that's the signs to look for. Well, now, what if it goes beyond that and we're into heat stroke, or you think someone is experiencing heat stroke? What are the signs there and what do you need to do?
Heat stroke is can be very deadly, and you could have a much higher body temperature. Person generally becomes, they go beyond the irritability. They may experience confusion. They may not, they may stop sweating. You know, they may have, their body may have used all of that extra water, and they may have progress to the point that they aren't sweating any longer. They may have hot, dry skin, or they may still be sweating. Throbbing headache is a common symptom, and some people will even have a seizure or may become unconscious and go into a coma. So that is a medical emergency. If a person is experiencing heat stroke, it is a medical emergency, and you need to get professional help right away. Call 911, get that person to professional medical help immediately.
So don't try to treat that one yourself. Go ahead and call 911.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because as we heard about, I heard on the news this morning with the heat wave in Chicago, I think five people have died already. So it is a medical emergency, needs to be taken very seriously.
All right. So it is no a light matter to be working out in some hot, humid conditions. And a lot of folks are doing that in Wells County this time with, again, temperatures expected to be around 94, 95 degrees today. We are talking with Ann Abger with the Wells County Health Department. This is Focus on the Foothills, and we'll be right back right after this. Once again, welcome back to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela. My guest today is Ann Abger with the Wilkes County Health Department, and we've been talking about protecting yourself and things you need to know working outside in the heat. Now, Ann, the gentleman that works in the afternoon here, Josh, he comes in at 3, and I heard him talking the other day about wearing a big straw hat when he was out mowing. Now, apparently, his straw hat wasn't big enough, or he wasn't thinking, because where his shorts came down to, and right before his knee bent, his knees were just bright red. He had these huge red spots on both knees. So I don't know if his hat wasn't big enough, or maybe he should have used sunscreen, one or the other. But are hats important, too, when you're outside?
Absolutely, Angela. It is really important to wear a hat with a brim all the way around that would shade your face, your ears, your neck, and maybe even your knees if you're if you want a hat that large. If you don't wear the hat, though, I know baseball caps are very popular, and a lot of young people love to wear the baseball caps, and that's fine. That's great. It protects your face and your nose. But be sure to put sunscreen on your ears and the back of your neck, because those areas are not protected if you do go with the baseball cap. You might want to avoid the straw hats that have holes in them, because that would allow the sunlight to come through those holes and you could get sunburned and not realize it. A darker hat, too, may offer more protection from the UV rays.
Now, I was sitting here thinking about the ears. I had one year when we had gone to the beach, and my hair was longer and it came down over my ears. But the wind was blowing that day. And so when I came in that evening, I thought, what is wrong with my ears? And I went and looked, and they were just really red right around the edges. I hadn't thought about the fact that they would get sunburned as well. So take into account everything that's going to be exposed to the sun when you're outside.
Absolutely. That's very important. And ears, that tends to be a spot that we all miss from because our hair either covers it, particularly if we're women and we wear longer hair.
Yeah.
But it is important, even if you do have long hair. And many times if you're out in the sun doing an activity such as working or you're at the beach, you may forget and pull your hair back and put it up. Put it in a ponytail, yeah. Wear it in a bun or whatever, and you definitely need protection. Or you may wear that rim hat and it exposes your ears even more because it's pushing your hair behind your ears.
Well, now, one thing we didn't discuss was if you have messed up and you do get a sunburn, maybe you're out longer than what you anticipated or you forgot the sunscreen or for whatever reason you do get a sunburn, what are some things that you need to do to help alleviate the discomfort with that sunburn and to help your skin heal?
Well, there are a lot of products on the market. There are ointments and creams that are there. If it's a sunburn that's a mild sunburn, yes, they're quite painful. Your skin is red and it's burning. Aloe is popular with a lot of people if you don't have an allergy to that. If you have blisters, if the sunburn is so bad that you have blisters, do not puncture the blisters and because that opens your skin up to infection.
Right.
Make sure that if the blister does burst, that you cover it with a dry gauze, something to protect your skin until it has time to heal. And then if it's a very severe sunburn and you have a lot of coverage with that sunburn on your body, you might want to check with your medical provider to see if you need more prescription-based ointments or creams to help that sunburn to heal.
All right. Now, another thing that we contend with in the summer months and it is bugs. I do not like bugs because they seem to love me, especially mosquitoes, you know, and my son, bless his heart, is allergic to bee stings, not to the point where he can't breathe, but he has a lot of breaking out and swelling when he's stung. What are some things that and ticks too? Of course, there's what are some things we need to keep in mind when we're outdoors to protect ourselves from bugs, mosquitoes, and ticks, and bee stings, and that type of thing?
Well, one of the things that we can do, particularly against mosquitoes, once again, you can wear clothing, lightweight clothing, to cover all the body parts. There are several good repellents on the market. DEET products, DEET. Picardian, I think I said that correctly, but DEET tends to be the most popular product that people use to repel, and you want to, you know, spray those areas and try to keep the mosquitoes away. If mosquitoes are still coming towards you after you've used it, it's time to reapply.
Right.
You know, Off is a real popular product sold in the United States, and there are other products, too, that contain that product. Now, there are several products out there. If you find that you have an allergy, say you have a rash or one product doesn't seem to work for you, you can try another product. But it is real important. As we know, ticks carry diseases and mosquitoes also. So we want to be sure that we protect ourselves against that. I'm not sure how well the repellents work against ticks, but the important thing about ticks is that they are in the woods. Stay away from the wooded areas. Keep your yard trimmed, your lawn mowed short. Move your playground equipment away from the woods, even
right.
though it may be shaded area. You don't want it too close to the woods because of the ticks. And you can, particularly it's important if you work outside or if your children are outside, check yourself every day or check your children every day for tick bites, and you would want to check behind the ears, particularly in the hair. Those little crevices are where ticks tend to like to nest and to bed, and that's where you'll typically see a bite.
Now, what is the best procedure to remove a tick? Should you go to a doctor, or can you remove it yourself at home?
The important thing about removing a tick is do not use matches. Don't use Vaseline. That can cause the tick to release its toxins into your body, and it doesn't help. Take, you know, tweezers and try to get underneath the body of the tick so that you get all of the tick out. The article suggests from the CDC that you use fine tip tweezers to remove. Get as close as you can to the skin, and you use a pulling upward motion without twisting the tick.
Okay.
That's the recommended procedure. always date on your calendar when you remove the tick, and if it's a child, you know, write the child's name. If you become sick within the next 3 weeks, 21 days of removing that tick, be sure you tell your doctor that you have experienced a tick bite. He may want to run a test just to be sure that you're not suffering from Rocky Mountain spotted fever or another tick-borne illness.
Now, should you treat the skin a certain way if you had a tick bite and you remove the tick? Is there a certain procedure to treat the skin at that point?
Just make sure that you clean the tick bite with the antiseptic solution or product, soap and water, and clean that area. Soap and water is probably just as good. Then you can wash your hands.
Right.
Make sure you wash your hands with soap and water after removing the tick.
What are some things to look for? You talked about getting sick. What are some signs? And are there some signs on the skin? I've heard about the bullseye effect and that type of thing.
Well, symptoms of Lyme disease actually may include a bullseye-type rash. And then you may have nonspecific symptoms such as fever, tiredness, fatigue, headache, muscle aches, and joint aches are typically some of the signs and symptoms you may experience from either Lyme's disease or Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
And again, for any of these symptoms, you need to see your medical...
Correct. It's important that you seek medical, see your physician right away.
Okay. Now, we haven't mentioned the stings. If you get a bee sting, what is the best procedure to doctor that or to take care of that?
Well, I would say... Number one, you want to make sure that you're not allergic. So if you start having symptoms of a shock type reaction, you want to get to the doctor right away. And those symptoms might include swelling around the face and the neck of your tongue. You're feeling like you can't swallow or can't talk. You can actually, folks that have experienced that can tell right away they start experiencing that swelling. So you want to get to your doctor or hospital right away, particularly if it's the first time.
Right.
Some people have EpiPens if they've have known reaction to bee stings. And so that's very frightening, can be very life-threatening. So you only have a few minutes if you're having swelling of the throat to seek medical attention right away. Otherwise, if you have a bee sting and you don't have that severe of allergic reaction, you know, you can treat it with a disinfectant. Keep the area protected, you know, with a Band-Aid. You might apply ice if it's to treat swelling or to treat you know, the kind of burning sensation, aching sensation that you might have from that bee sting. They hurt probably the worst of any.
Yeah, they really do. We're totally run out of time here, Ann, but I appreciate so much you sharing this information with us about staying protected and doing some preventive measures in these hotter summer months. If folks still have questions, should they contact their doctor or can they contact you folks at the health department?
Certainly. They feel free to call the health department. Our number is 651-7450, and our receptionist will direct you to the correct person to answer your questions. We also have a website, Angela. It is www.wilkshealth.com, and there are several articles about prevention against tick and mosquito bites. We are in the process of putting articles on about what to do to protect yourself against heat and sunburn. There's also Ask Us. You can ask a question and we'll forward that to the correct person. It comes through our office through email, and we will get back to you.
All right. Ann, thank you so much. Ann Amscher with the Wilkes County Health Department for being with us today.
Thank you, Angela. I appreciate it.
And this has been Focus on the Foothills. Coming up, we'll have a check on that weather forecast.